I feel like this is already my fourth sermon today. Maybe you do too. So I tried to keep things a little bit short, even though our theme is this long word, like I said to the kids, reconciliation, the center of our work. This is essential to us as Anabaptists, as Mennonites. I think it's quite fitting that we have had three different voices from among us preaching on these three essentials. Jeremy commented on his sermon 2 weeks ago about pushing the question of Anabaptist essentials into the present. We may have a nearly 500-year-old tradition within broader Christian history, but there are always going to be, or there should be, new questions to ask and new things to say. We must constantly be renewing our commitment to Jesus as the center of our faith. If we live out of a renewed commitment to Jesus, the face of our community, not just here, but broadly speaking, will be new and different. And the work of reconciliation will also take new shapes in every age. And so by listening to various voices and sharing our own, we continually test the territory around what we hold to be central. And we ask, how do we follow Jesus today? How does a church community live like Jesus today? And how does a Jesus-shaped community embody the work of reconciliation today? Both passages that Karen read name multiple facets of reconciliation. With the Ephesians, we read of God reconciling both Jews and Gentiles to God's self, which right there breaks down a wall that was dividing those early Jesus followers from each other, and says, in Christ, you are reconciled with each other. Now live like it. In being reconciled to God, a new humanity had been created out of two groups who, for the most part, wanted nothing to do with each other, not in the things that mattered. So the church, in its DNA, is a community of reconciled enemies. Being reconciled to God and to each other exists in one interdependent reality. Christ is our peace. Christ is our peace has both a God trajectory and an others trajectory, a neighbors and enemies trajectory. Christ is our peace, so the dividing walls of hostility need to keep coming down. In 2 Corinthians, we heard that God has pursued us and brought us into a restored and healthy relationship with God through the anointed, through Jesus. And God has given us the same mission, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring others back to God. It is central to our good news that God was in the anointed making things right between God's self and the world and does not hold their sins against them. But it also means God charges us to proclaim the message that heals and restores our broken relationships with God and each other. I told the kids reconciliation means bringing things back together. It means making one humanity out of former enemies. We know Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In the following verses, Eugene Peterson channels a particularly sassy Jesus in his message paraphrase. He writes, if all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner can do that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. Your kingdom sassy Jesus, right? Grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you. Reconciliation isn't pleasantness. It isn't politeness. Reconciliation is acknowledging when something has been broken and sharing the heavy lifting of bringing it back together. I continue to be challenged by the difference between the dynamic movement of bringing things back together and the sometimes more passive stance of desperately holding things together. You might think of this in relation to reconciliation between Indigenous and settler peoples in this land. Sending postcards to our MPs to urge the acceptance of Bill C-262 is an attempt at moving in the direction of bringing broken things back together. There are voices that would rather say, can't you just get over the past and move on, without acts of reconciliation. This is a holding on to status quo that continues to harm individuals and communities who have historically had limited power to make change. And that difference between bringing things back together and holding them together came to life for me again when the Canadian Mennonite magazine defended their decision to run a paid insert that insists there's only one way to interpret scripture on gender and sexuality. When Canadian Mennonite responded to the backlash, they repeated their statement that accepting the insert was in the spirit of making space for diversity of interpretation in the church, which we committed to as a national church. They defended this decision even after I and many, many others wrote and said, this doesn't even make space for LGBTQ allies. It certainly doesn't make space for the vulnerable people who have been re-traumatized by one more church-led attack on their God-belovedness, and for whom I and my colleagues across the country will now be doing more pastoral care in its wake. Leighton Williams writes for Sojourners magazine, and she writes about caring deeply about church unity. But, she writes, we cannot claim to create unity so long as it is contingent on keeping some people in the margins and denying justice. We have always been claiming unity at the expense of others, whether because of race or immigrant status or mental health. As long as we believe unity is something we must build and then cling to, we will never find it. This reminds me of this quote from Archbishop Desmond Tutu, which I happened to come across in our prayer room this week. If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has his foot on the tail of a mouse and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. If reconciliation is the center of our work, then we need to be looking for the relationships that have been broken or pushed away, and doing the work of reconciling with the vulnerable rather than placating the powerful. Maybe this isn't quite as short as I intended to keep it, because reconciliation is seriously huge work. And this is our ministry. Paul said, the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors or representatives for Jesus, who is our peace. In Christ, we become the righteousness of God. Reconciliation is the center of our work. And it is dynamic and challenging and always new and always on the move, always acknowledging what has been broken and bringing things back together. This is the center of our work, as we live our lives with community at the center and shape our faith with Jesus at the center. This is essential. May it be so.